Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson. I'm the pastor of VU Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
Hey, I'm up here with some of my good friends. This is Adrian Molina right here. How many of you love Adrian? He oversees this location, does an incredible job, carries a whole lot of weight in church, and beyond all that, phenomenal man, friend, father, husband, not to me, but to someone, and we're grateful for him. And this right here is Manushka Charles. How many love Manu? The bishop herself. Powerful. It's going to be a fun night. Honor to share the stage with you guys.
It's going
to
be so much fun. Put your hands together for Luke Berry. Come on, Luke and Fran, incredible leaders. He just honored our pastors, but I think it's important to say this. This is our fifth time preaching today, which is, it's been a lot of fun, but it's also been very eye-opening.
It's like a pastor appreciation day.
Yeah, because I think we need to realize this. Our pastors, every time they preach, they do this every single Sunday. They preach five times, and I can tell you that it's no joke. It's a little bit exhausting, okay? So can you put your hands together one more time for our pastors who every single week carry the burden of preaching? Come on, I think we could do better for 3 seconds. Say thank you to our pastors because they don't have to do this. They want to do this. They want to lead us five times live. That's not an easy task. And I'm grateful for them. I'm going to give them a big hug when I see them. Hopefully when you see them, you'll give them a big hug. What's awesome is that Pastor DC has done this pregnant, which is insane. She's obviously stronger than we are in multiple ways. Anyway, we're gonna get into this. So Pastor Rich in his video and Luke, as he just mentioned in the welcome, we've been in this collection of talks, really speaking on this topic of restless. How to find rest in the stress of life. And for me, it's been really enlightening. And I think this topic is really, it's a conversation. It's about redefining what it means to truly find rest, about shifting our perspective and shifting our mindset on how we can actually arrive at real rest. And there's been sort of this overarching theme, Manu, and what's that?
Yeah, we've been talking about the Sabbath. I think that's been the culminating thought of this collection. And I've been in church my whole life and I've never heard a sermon preached on the Sabbath, nor do I think I wanted to.
Right.
But these past 3 weeks have been eye-opening for me and really life-changing, thinking about how much we need to stop and how much we need to rest. See, that word Sabbath in the Hebrew is Shabbat, and it means to stop. I love the way that Wayne Muller says it. He says, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. And as I read this, I thought about my own life. Some of you may know my story, but about 2 years ago, I got into a car accident that literally stopped my life. I was in a coma for close to 11 days, and everything stopped for me. There's no February 6, 2018. There's no February 10th, 2018. There's no memory. There's no moments. My life stopped. And even after I woke up from that and getting back into Miami, my work stopped. My travel schedule stopped. The way that I hung out with my friends stopped. Life as I knew it stopped. And I remember in the beginning of 2018, I had dreams. I had aspirations. I had New Year's resolutions. I had things that I said that I wanted to accomplish, but all of that stopped. And there was a moment where I had forced rest. I had to Sabbath. And I can tell you that in that time, God was able to heal me. He was able to heal my mind. He was able to heal my thoughts, my emotions, my body. And it was because I was at rest. And for many of us, we're hurting and we're broken and we have not stopped long enough for God to heal us. That we have not stopped long enough for God to do a work in us and through us because we think that if we stop, we'll miss out on something. We think that if we stop, it'll hold up our career. We think that if we stop, that we won't get married at the right time or we won't have kids at the right time. We think that if we stop, it'll hold us up. But can I tell you, as I reflected at the end of the year 2018, that I promise you God did more than I could ever expect. Every dream, every aspiration, everything that I had in my heart to do, God did it. I did not miss a thing. I didn't miss an opportunity. God used it. It was incredible. With the last 6 months of my life, God was able to do more than I could with the 12 months in my life. That's what happens when we trust God, when we rest in him. I love what the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 30 to 31. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men will fall exhausted, but they who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I come to tell you that when you rest in the Lord, not only does he renew your strength, he allows you to go further, faster. He allows you to do things that you could have never imagined that you can do. That's what happens when you rest in God. But if we're being honest, rest is not simple or natural to us. To find true rest, to find soul rest, it takes discipline and it takes practice. In the book of Matthew, Jesus preaches his famous Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching different principles. He's teaching people how to pray and how to fast and how not to worry. And the way that he ends his sermon is Matthew 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice. Everybody say that word, practice. He should be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So for the next few moments, we want to talk to you from this thought. Practice what you preach. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, practice what you preach. Turn to the neighbor you haven't said hi to yet, tell them, practice what you preach. And I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, y'all are preaching, not me. But you're the one that keeps talking about the vacation that you need to take. And you're the one saying that you need more rest. And you're the one saying that you need to spend more time with your family. And you're the one saying that you need to take time off of Instagram. We keep telling ourselves all the things that we need to do, but we haven't done it. We're like, I'll do it someday, but I believe that someday can be today. Today can be the day that we make a change. Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better. But I'm not sure if that's true for our generation. Because we know a whole lot, but I don't know if we're doing anything with that. It was Neil Postman who coined the phrase low information to action ratio. That we've got a whole lot of information, but there's very little action. He said it this way, the tie between information and action has been severed. Information is now a commodity that can be bought and sold, or it can be used as a form of entertainment or worn like a garment to enhance one's status. It becomes indiscriminately. It's directed to no one in particular. It's disconnected from youthfulness. We are glutted with information, drowning in information, have no control over it, and we don't know what to do with it. So, in summary, we have all this information. We're even moved by this information, but we're not doing anything with it. But I believe that it's time, Luke, that we practice what we preach.
Jeez, so good, Manu.
Good work.
I love you.
Can we tag every time we switch?
Exactly, okay. Tag in and tag out.
So we've been talking about finding rest in the stress of life. And I love this word, finding. I'm gonna go over here. Manu was there. I love this word, finding. Because did you know that rest is not just going to come to you? You actually have to go, you got to go find it. And I think that if you're here tonight, you're probably interested in finding rest. But you know that being interested in finding rest won't bring you rest. If you're here tonight, you probably want some rest in your life. But wanting rest will not bring you rest. The truth is, it's what you do that makes the difference. It's what you do. And so over the past few weeks, we've been talking about slowing down and stopping and creating margin and getting alone and getting quiet, creating space in our lives to find rest, to hear from God. And we've discovered this kind of like surprising truth about rest. And it's this, it takes work to rest. Yeah. I was surprised to find that out. Like, rest doesn't just happen because doing nothing won't do nothing. It's like, it's bad grammar, but it's a good principle. Like, doing nothing is not going to bring you rest. So maybe you feel restless tonight and you're going, I don't want to feel that way anymore. The problem with your feelings is that they're really complicated. I don't know about you, but like some days I wake up and I feel good. I feel inspired. I feel motivated. I'm excited for what's ahead. I feel maybe a little more spiritual than other days. And some days I wake up and I just don't. And the most frustrating part is like, I don't really know why. So what do we do with all these feelings. Like, I remember fighting with my wife, I'm gonna be honest here, in front of the Eiffel Tower. Now, when you're on vacation in Paris, what is there to fight about? Like, what am I angry about? I don't even remember. What are we upset for? It's just feelings. It's just a mood. So what are we going to do with it? And I love what William James said. He's a famous psychologist, philosopher. He said, action seems to follow feeling, but really feeling and action go together. So by regulating the action, which is under the direct control of our will, we can regulate the feeling, which is not. What's he saying? He's saying the way that we tend to think about actions and feeling, the natural way to see it is I feel like it, so I do it. I don't feel like it, so I don't do it. So we think that feelings have to take the lead, but feelings are a bad leader. Like, you wouldn't follow a leader as fickle as your feelings. But we do it every single day. Like, if your feelings were a person, you wouldn't trust that guy for nothing. You'd be like, bro, yesterday you said I was gonna change the world. Today you tell me to give up. Like, that's how quickly your feelings change. Yesterday, you were so in love with your wife. Today, you're not sure. We can't follow our feelings because they're gonna lead us into a future we don't want. Your feelings, they're a bad leader. And what he's saying is that really actions and feelings, they kind of go together in this mysterious way. And so what we can do, if we understand the tendency of feelings and action to move in the same direction, we can flip it and use it to our advantage. So we can flip the formula, then rather than saying, I feel like it, so I do it, we can say, how do I want to feel? And therefore, how do I need to act? What kinds of actions are going to lead to the feelings that I desire? What he's saying ultimately is don't feel your way into actions. You got to act your way into feelings. You can't touch your feelings. You can't directly change them by changing your behavior, by trying something, doing something different. Indirectly, you can influence the way that you feel. So maybe you came tonight hoping to hear do less. And the truth is, like, in our culture, in this city, in our country, like, you probably do need to do less. Like, we are a busy, hardworking culture, and I think there are really beautiful things about it. But stopping is not gonna bring you rest. You can't just do nothing. Like, it's not just removal, it's replacement. So there's some things that you need to stop doing, for sure. But there are some things that you need to start doing in your life. Are you feeling restless? Are you feeling frustrated? Are you feeling discouraged? Maybe you need to do something different. One of my favorite things to do is something I've never done before. Yeah. A couple weeks ago in Crew, we were talking about rest and what brings rest to people. We were asking and kind of just going around the circle and people were sharing. And I just said, you know, I like to read. And someone said, I like to watch Netflix. And this girl, I knew that her answer was going to be different because we said, Vicky, how do you rest? And she said, step one. And I said, my God, this girl has a real plan. So she has a night routine that leads her into a restful slumber. It's like a process. I don't remember all the steps, but I know it begins with a shower in the dark. Then later she gets into essential oils and candles and various oils and unguents, but I can't get into it. However, I thought, I was like, I can try this out. So last Saturday I tried it. I was like, let me take a shower in the dark. And can I be honest with you? It was wonderful. It was so refreshing. However, it got weird when my wife Francesca walked in the room because like she didn't know this was happening and she walked in. She's like, what's going on here? And I was like, listen, get in here. Let's figure it out together. Oh, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. That's what I should have said. I didn't say that. However, if I had, I have a feeling it wouldn't have worked. Slightly off topic here, not the point. The point is doing something different. That's what we're talking about. Not in my notes. Fun. Oh, thank you. All right. So it's not just for the novelty of it. I love doing something different because it reminds me that I'm not done learning. Like, learning didn't end when school ended. Like, I can still change. I can still grow. And if I can change, I can get better. If I can change, I don't have to have the same life I had yesterday. Like, I can do something different. If you don't like your life, you got to change your approach. That's how you get different results. Not happy with your life. What are you going to do differently? What are you going to do about it? I love what Daniel Taylor said. He said, few things are as encouraging as the realization that things can be different and that we have a role in making them so. That's encouraging. Like, if you feel discouraged tonight about your life, like, I just can't get control of my feelings. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. You can be different. If you don't believe you can change, can you be a Christian? Because I think change is pretty fundamental to our faith. Like, if you're not sure about it tonight, maybe you need to be reminded of the gospel. Because the gospel is you were dead in your sin, but thank God he made you alive in Christ. You don't get more different than that. You were dead, and now you're alive. You don't have to live the life you've been living. You don't have to keep feeling the way you've been feeling. You can find rest today, but it's going to require you to do something different. Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. But I love how the Message translation says it. We read it on week one. He said, come to me and I will show you how, everybody say how, to take, everybody say take, a real rest. Now watch how active the language is. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to take a real rest. And so, really, the simple question we want to answer tonight is, what is the work that will bring your soul rest? Because all the principles in the world won't change you if you don't put them into practice.
Yeah, come on, put your hands together. That's good. Tag. I'm in.
Tag.
I love this concept that rest is active. That rest, it actually takes work. And I think that's part of the conversation that we've been having, that we've been redefining what it looks like to really find rest. And rest, it does mean to Sabbath, which means to stop, but it's not stopping and doing nothing. There's activity involved. There's active language involved in order to find rest. And I think as we have this conversation about rest, like we need to, yes, talk about this one moment that we give ourselves in the week, whether it's a 24-hour period or a 2 to 4 hour period where we are finding rest. But because rest is active, I feel like you can walk or be in a constant state of rest, or you can encounter rest more often than not. And as we're developing this sermon together, really thinking about not just information and principles, but what does the application look like? Information plus application is what equals transformation. So what we want to talk about for the next 15, 20 minutes or so are now these disciplines, both practical disciplines and spiritual disciplines. If you're anything like me, it's like, bro, what are the next steps? Like, what do I need to do? Give me steps 1 through 5 in order to find the rest that you're looking or that you're talking about. Manu is going to talk about the spiritual disciplines because she's way more spiritual than I am. But I'm going to talk to you about the practical discipline. So this stuff, it's not necessarily inspiring or it's not necessarily uplifting. It's not going to make you shout, but it is going to change your week if you apply it. Okay, so the first one, I want you to write this down, is customize your schedule. Everyone say, customize your schedule. You got to customize your schedule. I got a question for you. I want you to answer it in your head. What is important to you in life? What are the things that mean the most to you? We got to know the answer to these questions for a lot of reasons, but primarily we got to know the answer to this question because the answer to this question is what fills our tank. I don't know if you know this, but you and I, we are like gas tanks. It's not very inspiring, but we are like gas tanks. What do I mean by that? You and I, because of our human condition, we have a finite amount of energy, a finite amount, a limited amount of resource, of output, whatever you want to call it. And we go through life exhausting our energy, and we arrive at this point where we are depleted. It's like a car that runs out of gas. You and I are like gas tanks, and we go through life trying to fill up our gas tank, and then we arrive at this point where we feel depleted. And that's sort of the issue and the tension and the thing that I want to pose to us and I want us to challenge ourselves with, because I think what we've convinced ourselves of is that we have to exhaust all of our resources and then arrive at rest in order to refill. But what if it's the other way around? Like, what if you work to get filled up so that when you arrive at rest, you're not wanting to refill, but you're wanting to get refreshed. There's a difference between getting refilled and refreshed. What am I saying? I don't want to arrive at my moment of rest empty. I don't want to arrive at my moment of rest completely depleted with nothing to give. Why? Because rest, we've been talking about it, is a moment for me to connect with God. It's a moment for me to connect with people, a moment for me to connect with myself. What good is that going to do if I ain't got nothing to give? But if I got something to give because I've been working towards getting filled up this entire week, then I will allow rest to fulfill its actual purpose. Rest is not to refill me. Rest is to refresh me. So what does this have to do with our schedule? Well, think about it. You got to know what you care about. Why? Because when you participate in activities that revolve around what you care about, it fills your tank. What am I saying? Figure out what you care about and customize your schedule to meet those needs. If you care about family time, schedule it. If you care about getting in the gym, schedule it. If you care about being in church, schedule it. You care about going to a movie, having a new experience, going on a date night, whatever it is, schedule it. You care about staying up on current events and reading and writing, schedule it. Figure out what it is that you care about and literally put it on your calendar. Customize your schedule to meet your needs so that when you arrive at this moment of rest, you're not putting this unnecessary pressure on rest to refill you. Because what happens, then you're going to step out of that moment and not be refilled and you're saying, hey, rest wasn't worth it. But it's not that rest wasn't worth it. Rest isn't meant to refill you. It's meant to refresh you. So I'm going to step into that moment and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to give you whatever I got left. People, myself, I'm going to give you whatever it is that I got left so I could spend some time doing things that refresh me. So the first thing, customize your schedule. The second thing is curate your environment. Everyone say, curate your environment. This is practical stuff, but I promise it's gonna help your Monday if you start applying it. Have you ever heard this concept that people are a product of their environment? Well, it's true. People are a product of their environment. And I'm not just referring to our metaphorical environment. I mean like our literal environment. We are a product of our literal environment. I wrote it down this way in my notes. I want you to think about it this way. Your space will dictate your pace. Your space is going to dictate your space. Or your space is going to dictate your pace. There's a lot of rhymes there. It's a little difficult. Your space is going to influence what your pace is. If we want to arrive at a moment of rest, if we want to have moments of rest, then we have to curate an environment that allows for rest. And I'm not talking about cleanliness. I'm not just talking about being organized, which is important, by the way, because we serve a God of order, not of chaos. We serve a God of excellence. So that stuff is important, but I'm actually talking about the conditions of your environment. The spaces that you and I occupy on a daily, they either restrict or allow certain behaviors. What behaviors are you restricting? What behaviors are you allowing in the spaces that you are creating? What condition is your environment leaving you in? I'll give you an example. So for me, in my home, when we got married, Michelle and I, my wife, we've been married 4 years. And when we got married, we made a decision that in our bedroom, we were not going to have a TV. And just side note, there's nothing wrong with having a TV in your bedroom. Like if you have one in your bedroom, you're not living in sin. Everything is okay. Like it's fine. But we decided that in our home, we weren't going to do it for two reasons. Number one, because we wanted our bedroom to be an actual place that we can retreat to. Wanted our bedroom to be a place that we can go and find real rest in, where we can have conversation, where we can reflect, where we can read. We wanted to make sure that we were restricting temptation and allowing for the right behavior. But number two, when Papi says it's bedtime, you know what I'm talking about? Like my wife is fine and all mine and that is the boom, boom room. So when you step into that room, I ain't trying to just Netflix and chill. I'm trying to go straight to chill. You get what I'm talking about? Like when she, yeah, uh-huh. If you're married, you can say amen. If you're not, then don't listen to what I'm saying. We wanted to find rest. Snot came out of my nose. We wanted to find rest in that space, so we had to curate an environment that allowed for rest. That's the second one. The third one is create your checklist. Everyone say, create your checklist. We got to create our checklist. This one is huge for me. This one is important to me. It's one that I believe in a whole lot. I wrote it this way. If you'll never feel rested if you don't feel finished. You'll never feel rested if you don't feel finished. If you look at research done by psychologists on human behavior, on individual behavior and organizational behavior. One of the most proven theories or most proven concepts out there in relation to personal satisfaction and workplace satisfaction is this idea of goal setting theory. Okay, stick with me. This is practical, but it's going to help you. Goal setting theory is simple. It's this idea that if I set and accomplish short-term attainable goals, I'm more likely to feel satisfied and therefore more likely to set and accomplish future goals. What is that saying? That's saying that if I set myself up to win, I'm going to keep winning. What does this look like for you and me on Monday? It looks like creating a checklist. Somebody say, create a checklist. What am I going to do today? What are the 3 to 5 items that I am going to commit to today? This is a practice that I want you to adopt immediately, starting tomorrow. What are the 3 to 5 things that you need to get done in that day? Not things you want to get done, but things that you need to get done in order to say, I have seized this day. I feel accomplished in this day. Write them down on paper and be real with yourself. Like, don't set a goal that you can't do in a 24-hour period. If you got to break it into different phases, do that. But set 3 to 5 realistic, short-term, attainable goals. And here's the powerful part. At the end of the day, literally check it off. Somebody say, check it off. Check it off. Give yourself the personal satisfaction of a job well done. Physically and mentally, let yourself know that you have seized the day, that you've done a good job, that you have accomplished what it is that you set out to accomplish. You can tell yourself, today was a good day, but tomorrow is going to be an even better day because I am awesome and because I accomplished what I set out to accomplish. There's truth in this. You got to hear me. You'll never learn to rest effectively if you don't know how to work effectively. If you approach your time of rest with unfinished busyness, not unfinished business, there's always unfinished business, but unfinished busyness, then you are not setting yourself up to win. You gotta create a checklist. And then fourthly, you gotta critique your work. Somebody say, critique your work. We have to build in moments in our life to critique our work. We have to ask ourselves, how am I doing at this? Do I like the way that this is going? Can I be doing this a little bit better? What should I be doing more of? What should I be doing less of? The way I wrote it in my notes, the way I want you to think about it is the road most rested is the one most tested. The more you test your thoughts, the more you test your work, the more rest your soul will receive. So what does that mean for you and I tomorrow? That means that you and I, we have to build in some mechanisms to evaluate our performance. Do a 90-day evaluation of your life every 3 months. Break your year into seasons, into quarters. Evaluate them at the end. Do a SWOT analysis of your week. Strength, weakness, opportunity, threat, whatever it is. Build in a mechanism that is going to critique your work. It's important. You got to hear me. You got to do this. You got to critique your work and collect your thoughts because it's in these moments that God is the loudest. Why is he the loudest? The Bible's clear, man. It says that God is after our hearts. He's examining our hearts. He's concerned with our hearts. He's not focused on the exterior. He's focused on the interior. What's going on inside of Adrian? That's what God wants to know. So when I critique my work, when I evaluate my performance, what am I doing? I'm literally opening the door of my heart for coaching and for discipline and direction and guidance and leadership in my life. I got to put myself in a posture of vulnerability if I want to be coached. I got to put myself in a posture to receive direction if I want to arrive at improvement. We have to build in these mechanisms into our lives. And look, there's an issue or a difficulty with this. And the problem is that you and I, we go through life so rushed and so busy and so outwardly focused that consciously or unconsciously, what we're doing is we're actually shutting the door to our hearts and we're not allowing for God to speak into it. And I feel, if I'm being honest, like I'm in this season all the time. I feel like I'm too busy to actually assess how I'm doing. But we got to create these moments. I feel like I just had this moment coming out of this last week. Michelle and I, we took a little trip with Maddox, our first family vacation. And no, we didn't go to Disney. We went to St. Augustine. I got to teach this boy about America before I teach him about Mickey Mouse, okay? It was also more cost effective, which is why that's the real reason why we went. It's the truth. It's a 5-hour drive to St. Augustine. And in that moment, Michelle and I, we took advantage and we started having conversation. What did we do? We critiqued our work. How are we doing as parents? How are we doing as a couple? How are we doing at church? How are we doing with our friends? How are we doing with our families? And it's a tough conversation to have when you're being real. But what happens is you open up the door to your heart and you allow for coaching and leadership and guidance. This entire trip, it was filled with reflection and with rest. But it wasn't the most, that combo or the different moments of rest that we had, they weren't the most powerful. The most powerful came Thursday morning, when I decided to go on a walk with Maddox, and we sat down and we were overlooking a little lake, and I decided to pick up a conversation with God that I had put on the table some time ago. I decided in that moment that I was gonna critique my work with God. I decided that I was gonna ask God for feedback. Lord, how am I doing? What can I be doing better? What should I be doing less of? What should I be doing more of? What is it that you want from me? And going back and forth and dialoguing. And I promise you, because I opened up my heart to God, because I put myself in a vulnerable position to be coached, to receive leadership and direction, he spoke to me. He said, Adrian, stop asking me the same questions you've been asking me. I already gave you the answer. I want you to walk out in faith and obedience. I will take care of the outcome. I want you to be an honorable husband, a present parent, a disciplined disciple, a smart steward, a committed church builder. He spoke to me directly. I don't know if you're like me, but if you're in this room tonight and you're looking for rest, what we gotta do is we gotta create a moment for us to open up our hearts to God. Because we serve the God that when we open up our hearts, he always delivers on our promises. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. That's the God that you and I have access to. And I believe that these practical disciplines, if we apply them starting tomorrow, we're gonna discover this rest that we've been talking about. But it's not just about practical disciplines, it's also about spiritual ones.
Yes, I think that we all can agree that we holistically need rest. Right. Yeah. We need the practical and we need the spiritual. We need to get enough sleep, but we also have to spend time with God. Yeah. And so the question that we've been asking, how do we slow down? How do we manage the chaos and the busyness of our lives? And the answer is to follow Jesus. Yeah. For many of you in this room, you're a follower of Jesus, but do you follow Jesus? I have to ask myself that question. Do I follow his principles? Do I adhere to what he's telling me to do? Do I take his teachings? Jesus is a whole lot of things to us. He's a Messiah. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. But the Jesus that I've been really leaning into is Jesus the Rabbi. Jesus the teacher, learning his ways, learning to adopt his principles. Because it's important to understand, if I want the life, I need to live the lifestyle. I can't get God results outside of God's design. I cannot find rest outside of Jesus. If I want the life, I have to adopt the lifestyle. I've been reading this book called Genius Foods, and it's all about eating the right things for you to be more productive in your mind, for you to fight against certain diseases. And I've been really loving this book, and I've been taking the practices to heart. I've been grocery shopping, doing all these things. But if I'm being honest, this week I had 2 Popeyes chicken sandwiches. 1.5. I shared half with someone who's never tried it. But just because I had those chicken sandwiches doesn't mean I'm gonna give up on this lifestyle that I wanna live. That's what practice is all about, that I'm going to keep trying. Good. See, spiritual disciplines are more about becoming than they are about doing. Good. So I want to become a spiritually disciplined person. Good. It's not just about the doing of it. We're already doing enough. We're doing a whole lot. If we look at our lives and we look at our schedule, work is at the center, and it seems like just everything else in our lives gets stacked up against work. Like, I'll just schedule other things around my work. And really the rhythm of our lives is more like a Rihanna song. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Na, 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 na. So it's like work, 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 and I have no idea what's happening in the middle, and then more work, and then more work. It's the truth. But I believe that the rhythm of our lives, when we take time to be spiritually disciplined, should be read, rest, retreat, repeat. Read, rest, retreat, repeat. That should be the rhythm of my life. We should take time to read God's word. We should take time to read what he's saying. We should open up our Bibles. We should pull away from the distractions and open the Word of God. Here's a little secret. You can read your Bible outside of Sunday. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Wild. But just maybe take it verse after verse. Just sit with a verse and see what God is saying to you. We need to take time to read, but we've also have to take time to rest. We've been talking about the Sabbath, and it's important when we take time to stop and we take time to pause. We can look at this word Shabbat from four different lenses.
Right.
We can look at it as stopping. So we stop all of our work. We stop worrying about work. We stop thinking about work on our Sabbath. We also have to rest. When we Sabbath, we should physically rest. We should get some sleep. We should emotionally rest. We should process our thoughts. We should get rest. We should also delight. Our Sabbath should be a day of enjoyment. It should be a day where you eat good food, where you get around great people. It should be a day where you play games, where you just delight, where you just enjoy. But then also on your Sabbath, you should take time to worship. You should fill your house with worship. You should put some headphones on and just listen to worship. We should take that time of Sabbath to rest. But we should also retreat. The Bible says in Luke 5, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We see that Jesus would often take the time to step away and to pray. That we've got to find a time and a place to connect with God, to communicate with God, that we can just sit with God and speak to him. But then we've also have to repeat this practice. Because there's some weeks that I might get all three. Other weeks, I barely get one.
Yeah.
But our spiritual disciplines are not the end all be all. It's not this destination we're trying to reach, but it's a journey.
Yeah.
That means that I am always practicing these disciplines. I'm always practicing. I'm going to repeat them over and over again. And I've been taking time to try to practice this idea of the Sabbath. And this week, I took time to pause and talk to God. And I ask God, why do you need us to rest? Besides the obvious reasons, God, why should I rest? And I really felt like God was saying, I need you to rest because I can't talk to you when you're busy. I can't talk to you when you're distracted. I can't talk to you when there's all of this going on in your lives. And the reason why God created us is so that he could have communion with us.
Wow.
So that he could communicate with us. And so it's really hard for him to do that when we're distracted. And we can see in our society, we're trying to find ways to combat against our distractions.
Yeah.
But even before there was a problem, God already established the solution. I was reading the other day, and social media users, brace yourselves. But Instagram is testing this coming week, taking away likes so that you can no longer see the likes on other people's page. And the reason why they're doing this, because they are seeing the negative effects of this competitive and comparison of the world. And so we're trying to reverse engineer a problem that we created.
Wow.
Trying to find solution after solution to problems we created. Like our iPhone tries to get us to stop texting and driving, but we ignore it.
Yeah.
Or we set limits on our iPhones, but we always hit 15 more minutes. 15 more minutes on Instagram, please. Please, God, just 15 more minutes. And we're looking for solution after solution, but God has already established the solution. That he's already told us that the way that we find rest is through Jesus. And so we take a day off, but we're still restless. We go on vacation and we're still angry. We get the dream job, but we're still not happy. It's because we're looking for rest in all the wrong places. We're looking for rest in all the wrong places. I love this story in the book of Exodus. Moses, he is the one that God chooses to free the Israelites, and he feels this weight. You can tell by the tone that he's anxious, that he's overwhelmed, and he's not sure what to do. And Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. And I love the response that God tells Moses. He says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest.
Wow.
And as I read this, I believe that that is a word for our generation. because we feel overworked, we're busy, we're tired, we're not sure how we're gonna manage it all, but his presence will go with you and he will give you rest. Good. That maybe you feel anxious and you're stressed out and you're not sure what tomorrow looks like, here's the word for you, that his presence will go with you and he will give you rest. Maybe it's a single mom in this room and you're not sure if you're doing the right thing and you're not sure if your kid's going to grow up the way that you need them to, or you don't know how you're going to make ends meet, but the word that God wants to share with you today, that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. That it doesn't matter what you walked in here with. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the issue is. You can hold on to this truth that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what stress or anxiety you walked in here with. You could have walked in here with suicidal thoughts. His presence will go with you and he will give you rest. He'll give you rest from your problems. He'll give you rest from your issues. He'll give you rest from your fears. His presence will go with you and he will give you rest. He's working so that you can rest. He's working so that you can have peace. He's working so that you can be refreshed. He's working so that you can be renewed. Just hold on to this truth that his presence will go with you and he will give you rest. That you don't have to worry about it anymore. That you don't even have to cry about it anymore. Because his presence will go with you and he will give you rest. Come on, if you believe that. Come on, lift up your voice in this room.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.